again.
Deeper, deeper in the faith of Jesus, holy faith and truth. In His love, so exalting wisdom, let me please pursue. Deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in Thy precious holy word.
Amen. Excuse me here as I adjust myself. Sorry about that. God bless you. Y'all having a good night? Sorry, we might have to do something about this. Can you hear me okay? All right, hopefully it stays. Amen, God bless you. It's a real privilege, amen, to be gathered together tonight in His name. And He's so good to us in every way. And I just can't thank you all how much I appreciate each one of you. God is so good to us, and just the different things that God in His mercy and His grace, He lets us go through, and just knowing that we're just with each other every step of the way is really precious. Amen. Let's just bow our heads if we would, please. Amen. Gracious Lord, we again humbly bow ourselves before You, knowing, Lord, that You've got a purpose. You've got a purpose, Lord, in even the foolishness of preaching. You've got a purpose in calling each one here tonight. You've got a purpose, Lord, in each one of their lives, and a calling in each one of their lives. And Lord, here we're seeing incredible times right now. We know, Lord, it's exactly birth pains that Your prophet said. That the Scriptures tells us these things were to happen and things were to be. What is it, Lord? You're birthing out a bride of Jesus Christ out of this place. And then, Lord, once You have her out of here and Satan has its way, Lord, You're going to come and You're going to set things right. You're going to correct the wrongs, Lord. And You're going to set things in order with Your bride. And truly, Lord, to You be the glory. And Lord, we pray tonight You just take total control, take control of these lips and this tongue, Lord, my spirit, Father. Take control of these vessels that are sitting out there, Lord. And I pray, Father, that something that we said, Lord, that'll encourage them, it'll help to establish them, that'll help to just raise them up that much higher. Lord, everything by You and for You and for Your good pleasure. Father, these things we pray. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate it. Thank your ministry to us. You may be seated. God bless you all online. May the Lord richly bless you and amen, meet with you, even as He's meeting with us. And we're just so very, very grateful. If you wouldn't mind, grab your Bibles, and if you'd stand to your feet. We're going to turn to Romans. I'm sorry. No, we're not. We're going to go to John 14:20. Very common verse, and I want us to read this together out loud, if we would. Who knows there's power in speaking? Amen? Amen. So not just that we know that we're saved, but by our lips we declare it. Declarative. All right, we're going to John 14:20. I'll wait till you're there. John 14:20. That day, your very common words, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 21st verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We just pray that you break to us the bread of life. Now we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If you want to also turn with me to Colossians 1:25 through 27. Paul speaking here, of course, he says, whereof I am made a minister in according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, and now is made manifest to his saints. Isn't that wonderful? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we know that this is the culmination of what the Lord is doing. This is what he's bringing us to. Amen. We just read in 14:20, you shall know that I'm in my Father. It's a declarative statement. It's something that he said he will do. And I think it's important that we realize the sovereignty of Almighty God. And I think it's important that we realize the power of Almighty God. And I think it's important for us to know and to understand that the will of God will not be thwarted. Amen? It's going to come to pass exactly the way that he said it will come to pass. Maybe not according to my understanding or your understanding, but it's going to come to pass exactly which was in his mind. And I probably brought it up this last time, but I think it's just an outstanding statement how it was that Jesus Christ, when he was speaking to the disciples, and he told them that he was going to be delivered up to sinners, and how it was that you know, he was going to be crucified, and how it was that all these things are going to transpire. And the Bible says it was withholded from them. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't because they were not smart enough. It wasn't because they were not elect. It wasn't because they weren't called of God. Right? They were called of God. They were elect. Amen? But what was it? It was withholden to them. Shows you how much our own flesh, we can do nothing. No matter how smart we think we are, no matter how much ability we think we may have in our flesh, God can't use any of it. And I think that's very important to understand. They couldn't understand because it was withholden from them. But then the time came where their eyes were opened. Then they understood. Then they could see. Amen. In a lot of ways too, my precious brothers and sisters, our eyes are withholden. Our eyes are withholden to all that is laying here in God's word, in the message of the hour. Amen. There's a lot of things that God is opening up our eyes to now that we didn't know back in 1970s, Brother Ron. What was it back then? It was, you know, sisters wear long hair and wear a dress, skirt, right? And baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the Trinity doctrine was wrong. That's all we knew. That's really, you know, it pretty well sums it up. And but it's been an evolution, amen, a progression of the bride of Jesus Christ. Step by step by step, he has been giving us more and more revelation of the breaking of the word. And one of these days, I would love to go through and all the different things that I recall that when they first came out, it sounded very strange to me. One of the things was how it was that we were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. That wasn't something that was taught back in the 70s. You know, it wasn't until like the early 80s it started coming out. More and more people are bringing it out. And then I said, oh, isn't that interesting? We're part of him. in his thoughts, in his thinking. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now you can accept that. You can receive it now. But back then, that sounded strange. And that's a lot of times what it's like is when you see a revelation, the revelation comes down fresh. And Brother Branham likened it unto crossing a stream. And as the stream lowers, it shows different rocks. And as the rocks lower, you can step on it. But initially, that rock is wet. You got to wait till it dries off a little bit because it's slippery. I think that was a good analogy. You know, and that's kind of how it is. That's how it is our walk before the Lord. I was talking to Brother Don, you know, talking about there's certain predestinated stumbling blocks that are there. A lot of times the reason why they're there because it's not your time yet to receive the word of God at this given time. We're thinking of a time where Jesus said to his disciples, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of the kingdom of heaven. Now, right now we think about that. What's the big deal about that? Think on the mind of a Jew. Think what that is. When their time that they're born, it was stressed that you shall not drink the blood thereof. You shall pour it out. Right? That was drilled in them. And here Jesus is speaking, and he's saying that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. Think about that. And it says the 70 went with them no more, and even the ones that were there were stumbled. Jesus looked to them. He says, will you also leave? Will you also go? It stumbled them too. They were no less stumbled by what Jesus said. And he said, but, you know, he never ran after them. Brother Bram says he never ran after them. But then Peter said, where will we go? Thou alone has the words of eternal life. Amen? And that's where it is. You recognize where the move of God is. You recognize where the Spirit of God is. You recognize where the power of God is and the authority of God is and where it's been all a while. And you say, I'm going to stay right here. I don't understand that. But you got to understand that which is in, sometimes in the physical, there's a spiritual application to it. There's a spiritual application that you know, kind of breaks the mold, if you would, kind of so to speak. God is God. He's supernatural. Amen. He does what he will. And so life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. But that life, that way, doesn't do you any good. The only blood that there is that does work is the life that comes from Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So everything was with a purpose. Everything, there's a time. And God had this predestinated stumbling block sitting right there, again, for a purpose. And we could probably go through stumbling blocks, but that's not what this message about is tonight. Amen. I do see, you know, this is a culmination of what it is that the Lord is bringing us to. And I think it's important for us to realize the wonderful place that God has placed us in, and particularly you young people tonight. I'm going to go over some things that maybe you weren't sitting here when we were upstairs and Brother Don was going through these things on the board, right? I'm sorry, I'm having an issue here. Need a piece of tape. We'll see here, brother, maybe. I don't know why I'm having troubles. I'm sorry, guys. All right. So, amen. So, yeah, so for you young people, I'm just going to go back a little bit because one thing that we have to understand is that the whole thing about, I want to go back, I want to lay before the foundation about God was in the beginning. First of all, the dogma of the Trinity is a Catholic dogma. They know it's there dogma. They know that that is their doctrine. And they're even surprised, some of them, that the Protestant churches have embraced that. But with that embracing, they've embraced the baptism in titles, Father, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And this is where this is really key. Pope Francis said, by one baptism, are we, in, we're called in one body, one baptism. What is baptism? They're water baptism. So if you're baptized in titles, then you are the lost brethren, if you would, to the Pope, to the Catholic Church. You know, so you have to see that this is a false vine. This is a false doctrine. Amen? And this will bring to pass the scripture. Jesus says, "And if you abide not in me, any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them." Isn't that interesting? "And cast them into fire, and they are burned." You know, men gather them. There is a world council of churches. There will be a gathering, and there will be a gathering together of them. It's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. Amen. So what is the scriptural understanding? I'm going to go over this real quick, guys, and this is for the young folks, okay? I know you old timers, right? You've been here forever. And bear with us. Can you do that? Is that all right? Listen, you are very familiar. You can turn to John 1:1. Amen. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Brother Branham liked it unto a big orb. He said that was God the Father. He's eternal. He is invisible. And then from him broke out a light. What was that? He says that was the Logos dancing before him. Oh, if I had a glove, I'd put a glove right here, and I'd wave the glove before you, kids, to give you a visual. From out of the visible came something that was tangible. And I'd slip my hand that's invisible, and I put it into that glove. See, understand what God is. Because you understand, we know that that invisible God, he made everything by Jesus Christ. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But yet the Bible also says that God made the world. He did. Amen. There is only one God, so keep that forever ingrained in your mind. There is only one God. Amen? Colossians 1:12 says, "Give thanks unto the Father who has made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Amen. Aren't you glad? "In whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So God is invisible, praise the Lord, but Colossians 1:15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" Now, who are we talking about here now? "For by him, the Son, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he," who? "The Son, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." Who is the firstborn from the dead? Jesus, right? Amen. The Son. Amen. "That in all things he might have the preeminence." Isn't that interesting? "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." There's no jealousy here. Why is it? Because it's all that was in God, Brother Branham says, he poured into Christ. That was God there. He was manifested, and he was manifested through the Old Testament, if you would. Brother Branham says that was Christ in that pillar of fire out there leading the children of Israel. Brother Branham said, too, regarding Moses, when Moses said in Exodus, he says, let me see the hinder, let me see your glory. And he says, I can let no man see my face lest he die. He said, I'll put my hand before you, and I will walk, when you'll stand on this rock, I'll put my hand before you, and I'll walk by you. And then when I walk by, I'll remove my hand from your face, and you'll see my back parts, right? That's what the Bible says. He saw something. I wanted to say, too, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Ephesians 3:9 says, and to make all the men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Again, by Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God. Amen. That was Christ. Amen. Genesis 1:26. Now this one here stumbled me a little bit, Brother Ron. I'll be honest with you. But this is exactly correct. He said, let us make man in our image. And if you're totally oneness, this totally floors you. It fries your brain. That's why Brother Branham says, God is not one like your finger is one. Why is that? He says, because Jesus had a father. Okay? So our image, commenting, little side note, what did Brother Branham say that was? He says that was the Father and the Son. Now keep in mind, love, God is invisible, but he and in him, you know, inhabiting Christ. We're only talking about one God here, but just a different manifestation. Okay? One God, different manifestation. Praise the Lord. And he had the image there. What was that image? That image was an image of a man, if you would. Amen. Praise the Lord. But glorified. Amen. He was there in his theophany. All right? That was the image they're talking about. And that's how he was created in the beginning. Amen. And he was spirit. Man was spirit. And then he made him flesh. Genesis 2. And then he separated from the flesh because he made them, male and female. In verse 26. Let us make man our image after likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the air and over the fowl of the earth and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing. And I'm just turning over there here real quick. I just want to lay this in here correct. Verse 27, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And called their name Adam. Right? They were together. And when he made them in the dust of the earth, chapter 2 of Genesis, male and female both were inside that one body. And then later on, he put Adam asleep, took the rib out of him, and from that rib he created a body for Eve and separated the spirit, the feminine spirit from Adam, and put it in Eve's body over here. And that was a type of Christ in the church because we come from his side. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You see, we have to see the Godhead correct in order to see our place, in order to see our position. And this is what it's all about. I mean, it's not enough to know that God is holy, and he is holy, and we're going to talk about that. And he is awesome. You can't have enough superlatives to describe God. Amen. And That is one thing that the Catholic Church has down. They have a fearfulness and an awesome shaking of God. They have a reverence of the Lord, but with that understanding that they have, the holiness of God, they fear it. They write songs about the holiness of God, and it's important for us. I don't want to diminish aught at all of that holiness, but in a lot of ways, it's kind of keep you in the outer court and not allowing you in to where Christ is and really see what Christ hath done for us. It's not enough to have Christ there. You need to have the saints interceding for you. You need to have Mary interceding for you, because this is an incredible thing that we've got to navigate. It is incredible. It's incredibly incredible. But the Lord has made a way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing we need, is Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, getting back into the desert, 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "And all did drink of that same spiritual rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So Christ was there. Okay? Amen. So coming back to John 1, he was in the world. 1:10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, praise the Lord, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So then that glove, if you would, comes down and it gets enclosed in flesh, if you would. Amen. A body hast thou prepared for me. And that flesh is the second Adam. Guys, the second Adam. Why was it? Because Adam was pure son of God. And here, this flesh, this body was born of a virgin, was pure son of God, albeit begotten, begotten of the Father. Amen. It wasn't begotten of Joseph, right? It was a virgin. Nobody touched Mary. In fact, Mary had nothing to do with it other than just being an incubator. She was an incubator. It wasn't even her egg that was used. God just inserted a full seed, a seed being fully able to bring on and to grow and to develop. Even in Genesis there, it talks about the serpent. It says, "Thy seed shall bruise his head." It's not your egg, thy seed. Where did she get that seed from? God gave it to her. Amen? So you can see all these things that the message has put together for us to give us understanding, that in the denominational world, we would just stepped right over. We wouldn't have thought anything about it. But everything is key to our understanding of our position that we have in Christ and where our inheritance is in Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. I just can't praise the Lord enough. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." That's what he was here. He was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So when he was man, amen, that was God dwelling in human flesh, amen. He went, he said, and he did nothing at all but what the Father showed him to do. And everything that he showed him, that he did. And I'm going to come to this point here just a little bit later on, but this is his purpose. He came for one reason, and that is to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was to show forth his mercy, was to show forth his love, was to show forth his power over sickness, amen, power over devils, amen, power over religiosity, praise God, I thank the Lord so much. And the other thing that he was called to do, and we know, is that he was called to be that perfect sacrifice. Why was it? Because of the blood that was tainted back there in the garden. It was blood that was tainted. It took pure blood to redeem us. Praise God. I mean, there's just so much in here. Brother Don, if you go through, I mean, we'd be here. I mean, we'd just be here for just days, just going over everything of what it is. But this is our inheritance, guys. This is what we're called to. It's wonderful. So that, just to get going here, is that, so he was died. He was put on the cross. Amen. He died. The Bible says that the Father left him. Amen. Why was that? Because he couldn't look on sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Right? But we went to the cross. He died as a man. God can't die. God can't die, but a man can die. So the man, Christ Jesus, died. Amen. Taken down from the cross, he was laid into a tomb. Amen. His soul went down into hell, was there for 3 days. And then he came back. He took over death, hell, and the grave. He victoriously, he said, let captivity captive. Those that were captive down there, he set them free. They came up. They resurrected with him. The Bible says that they even saw them walking in the streets of Jerusalem, showing that he released them. They were no longer under that power. He totally victoriously delivered them all. And us too. He took the sting of death away from each one of us. Praise the Lord. This is what he has done. And so now, when he rose up, amen, his body, remember how he appeared to Mary? And he said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. You can't, don't spoil me. Don't taint me. I am going to show myself before the Father. So he resurrected before the Father. Amen. He showed perfectly. His sacrifice was perfectly done. Amen. Praise God. And then of course, he came back, showing himself to disciples. But then he was raised up into heaven, bodily, raised up into heaven. And there his body was, amen, interceding on the behalf of all the saints. And then the Holy Ghost that was in him came back down unto believers 10 days later in the upper room. Amen. Amen. So all that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured into his church. So now we've got God dwelling in his church. Isn't that wonderful? But the body is right there still, up on the right hand of God, interceding. The Bible is very clear. It says there's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. He is there interceding. And he's there interceding yet tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So he poured everything into his church. Now here's the thing, and here's where we are, and this is where it applies to you and I. All that was in Christ, he poured into the church. Whereas in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, not one of us contained the fullness. Amen. Just a little bit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we are all part of the body. Not the same calling, not even the same amount of the Holy Ghost. He delivered it up according as he will. That's his choice. Amen. I thank the Lord. He's totally sovereign in what he does. Every ability, I've said this before, that we have is from him, and every inability. You know, did he not make the deaf and the dumb? And who did this? God did. Yeah, amen. So praise the Lord. But it's for a purpose, and it's to glorify him. It's to glorify him. And so as long as your desire is to glorify the Lord, you can praise him for every part that you are. He doesn't make junk. He makes each one special, unique, with all your ins and outs and ups and downs. Amen. All your eloquence and lack thereof. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. God be praised. So, Jesus, John 5:43 says, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So he is totally in obedience to the Father. That whatever he sees the Father do, that he does. In John 6:57 says, As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. And, you know, I was looking at this scripture years and years ago. And this is the truth. I looked at that. I said, there's a jewel right there, and I'm not able to see what it is. Honestly, I didn't know what it meant. So you can imagine what it is. When you're looking at something, you know that there's something there. And all of a sudden, it opens up. It is a precious jewel of life. I understand it. I get it. Oh, thank you, Lord. I've been wanting to understand the book of Hebrews. You know, my early walk, I didn't understand that. I was so foggy. Now it's just an open book to me. Praise God. Amen. What is it? But it's not just me. I think it's just representative of what he's doing in the bride of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, when Brother Branham was waved, it was just one sheaf. He's the first one that came to maturity. But it was signifying that all the rest of the crop that's out there is going to come to that same maturity. How is that going to happen? Is that going to be by self-effort? No. The sovereignty of Almighty God. Amen? Praise God. We're going to touch on it a little more. So, as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. Brother Branham commented and said, the Father that sent Jesus went with him. Isn't that good? So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. In that same dependence, John 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's his meat. And when we think of meat, we're thinking steak, we're thinking ribeye, we're thinking chuck roast, we're thinking, but that isn't meat in the Bible. Meat in the Bible is food. Whatever it is that you're feeding on. He says, and the things that I feed on is to the will of the Father which sent me. Remember when he was there at the well? And they came back to him and they said, did you eat? He says, I eat meat of what you know, don't know of. Where did he go? Did somebody feed him? What happened? You know? And he says, my meat is to do the will of the Father. Amen? So that is our meat. So then our meat then, likewise, is to do the will of Jesus, right? And Jesus who sends us goes with us, lo and in us, right? Lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the world, even to the ends of the earth. Amen. So, I'm going to just shift a little bit here. Whosoever, Luke 6:47 says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Dear saints, we're going to see a lot of shaking going on. It's going to happen. We're going to see a lot of ruination taking place. And what's going to come forth in your life, in my life, to see how much of what he has said to us, how much we're standing on versus standing on our own understanding. Amen. If we're looking to him, to his supplier, if we're looking to our own ability, amen, if we're looking to some man-made way, some novel idea, instead of laying standing on thus saith the Lord. It's very key, it's very important. Obedience is very much the key. John 14:21, come right back to that verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, here it is, every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is where the warfare is, Brother Branham, right? Greatest battle that ever took place takes place in our mind. And we are told even in this day to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There's so many things out there. You don't go by circumstances. Amen. By his stripes I'm healed. Bring every thought captive. Amen. Doesn't matter what you're doing. We don't have enough money. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm in trouble. Bring every thought captive. Don't worry. In all things pray. In supplications, let your needs be known unto God. Amen. You're looking to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Casting down every imagination. Yeah, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Think about that. When you are walking, yielded to the Lord in obedience, he will cut all the enemy's feet out from under them before you. He'll bring everything, amen, that's against you. He will cut it away in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I will wrap up. I'm going a little long here. But he says, be holy, for he is holy. Amen. Be holy, for I am holy. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Neither of these are obtainable in our own efforts. But rather, we become these things when we become fully identified in Jesus Christ. He is holy. Because he is holy, I am holy. He is perfect. Because he is perfect, I am perfect. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. These things don't have any ability to transform us. All they'll do is just hold us down. I'm preaching to myself here. All these things do down here is just hold us down. Amen. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's your holiness. Why? Nobody's looking at you. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Praise God. We fully identify with Christ. We identify with our sacrifice. We look to his holiness, to his perfection. We identify with it. Why? Because he's perfect, there's my perfection. Amen. We reckon our own selves dead indeed unto ourselves, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. It's not my ability, not my keeping myself. It's him keeping me. Amen. It's him keeping you. It's predestination. Things. Amen. Amen. This is what Brother Branham says. Then my salvation, yours tonight, does not hinge upon the merits of our own acts. It hinged upon the positive, sovereign grace of Almighty God, who has chosen us in him. Certainly, I could never be perfect, nor could you never be perfect. We don't claim to be perfect, but we have this one consolation, that our faith rests in a perfect sacrifice that's already been received. Then what do we know we get that? When the worshiper puts his hands by faith upon the body of the Lord Jesus and feels the terror of sin and the mock of spit in his own face, feels the groaning of Gethsemane, the agonies of Calvary, and knows that he is guilty and confesses his sins correctly. Oh, blessed Lord, I am guilty. I have no other way but you to help me. And by faith, your bidding, the Holy Spirit has come and bids me come. And now I now, by faith, accept Jesus as my personal Savior. That life that come from him on Calvary, called the Holy Ghost, which was hid in the blood cell of the Lord Jesus, returns to the worshiper and baptizes him with the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. Amen. That's really good. Amen. The more we die, the more he is alive in us. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Saints, if you want to, musicians, if you want to come. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's bringing us up, folks. He's bringing us up to what is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I just want to read one more quote here. I want to do once it was a blessing. You could. Glory, notice, and when the Holy Spirit that we, and when this Holy Spirit that we have become incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. Isn't that wonderful? We'll see. You've arrived to your place. Amen. It's us. It's a wonderful thing. If you can receive it, I know you can, by God's grace. Amen. Amen.
Once it was a blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Once it's painful trying, now 'tis perfect trust. Once I have salvation, now the once 'twas ceaseless holding, now he holds me fast. Once 'twas constant drifting, now my anchor's cast. Once 'twas business, what I wanted, now what Jesus says. Once was constant asking, now.
Let's do the chorus now, okay? Amen.
All in all forever, only Christ I'll see. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything.
Let's do the chorus again.
All in all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ.
God is so good to us, saints. I know I live far below my privileges. I can raise my hand and ask. That's true. I want more of him. Amen. I want to walk more faithful to the calling wherein he has called me to. I trust that's your call, your desire as well. Amen. God is more than able, amen, to meet our every need that we have. Whatever is before us, saints, he will help us cross every bridge. Amen. Whatever we have to go through. And redeem the time. I just lost an uncle on Monday and an aunt on Tuesday. You know, there's no guarantee of tomorrow at all. And we don't know if we'll ever have a chance to share Christ with our neighbor or with those around us. Let's just redeem the time that God has given to us on this earth. We know that when we get there, it'll be worth it all. We're so glad we did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Derek, would you mind coming up and closing? Could you do that?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, every day as you unfold more of yourself to us, it's for the purpose that we can walk in the fullness of your truth that you want us to manifest in this day.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you for the words that you've inspired Brother Greg with, and may they sink down into our hearts. And as we see you manifest, may we also see you manifest in us. Lord, as you open things up to us, may we walk in them in the fullness. May you give us the revelation, the strength, the power, and the ability to live it. We thank you for this evening. We pray that you would watch over us as we go back to our homes, talking of the things of you. We pray that we could shed your light to others in this dark time. We ask a special blessing on Brother Greg and be with him. And thank you for his service and for letting him be with us. Commit our lives to you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Sorry. Once the power I want.